This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors, Kevin Hagland, Shippy, all in studio this afternoon. On Sunday, Shippy and I will be at Shark Club.
Yeah.
For the big game that's going down.
You could say the Cowboys game.
The New England team and the Dallas team. Oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks, Shippy. The big question we're asking for this Friday, and I love this question. We've done this question a lot because I love it so much. How are you annoying the Patriots fan in your life today? Are you talking a lot of trash to your Patriots fan? 877-881-1053, because we all have one. My best friend's wife is a Patriots fan. And
gross.
And so much so that she's a Celtics fan. She's from Boston. And so much so that they have a New England Patriots doormat. And I went, one day I showed up to their house, walked in and said, hey, I'll be back. Left and went to the store and got a Dallas Cowboys doormat, came back and put it on top of the Patriots doormat and said, I don't ever want to see that Patriots doormat again. The next time I saw it, I picked it up and threw it in the backyard. So that's how I annoyed my Patriots fan. 877-881.
You sound like a bad friend.
1053. Hey, he had to deal with the repercussions of it all. You know, like he's the one, not me. She loves me. Anyway, she does. She loves me. We're great friends. I'm his daughter's godfather. She has to love me. What?
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, are you talking trash to all your Patriots fans, friends today? 877-881-1053.
No.
Why not?
Of course not, because I think we're going to lose.
Are you serious?
Dude, if you go to 1053thefan.com, we have a prediction article that's coming out, and I said that I think that we're going to lose. And so I'm not going to talk trash.
Wow, spoiler alert. Game.
Yeah, I mean, we have been winning all the betting lines, so. But how many points will we lose by? That's the question. I think that we're going to lose this game, and so I don't want to talk trash. It's my same philosophy about Saturday college football. Don't talk trash about your rival losing before your team has played. If your team has already played and won, then go wild. And you can deal with your next loss in a week or whatever. But don't talk trash before your team has played, because if they lose, then you have to listen to it all. So,
but isn't that part of the fun, is talking all the trash? But you're afraid, so you're nervous.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you're not talking trash.
I'm not nervous. I'm like, feel pretty confident we're going to lose this game.
Oh my God. 877-881-1053. Do you feel the same way as Kevin, and that's why you're not talking trash to your friends this week? Or are you in the boat of, you know what, I talk trash all the time because I am a true Cowboys fan? 877-881-1053. From the 214, my friend is a big Pats a fan, and I only refer to Brady as Sis Tom Brady, and he gets mad every time.
Oh, system. That's amazing.
Is that Choppy's number?
From the 469, annoy us. How would you? Too mediocre to annoy us. Oh my God.
Okay, here,
see,
fine.
That's what I'm talking about.
In this case, that's not how they said it. You're too mediocre to rejoice. And like, why would you even be friends with a Patriots fan? Especially if they have that Boston accent, I'm out.
From the 949, my wife is a Patriots fan and it has stunk for the last 13 years. So that, because she's the one in the house, right? She's the one in the house that she gets to smile every time the Patriots win, every time they win the Super Bowl, and the Cowboys, you're sitting there as a Cowboys fan going, "Ah!"
That's the key.
And you know what? Tom Brady's 4-0 against the Cowboys.
Is he really?
Yes.
Ooh. See, you need to find somebody who's like a fan of Cleveland sports or something along those lines, where you know you'll just have the perpetual advantage over them.
I'm going to date a Jaguars fan.
Yeah, exactly. They'll never expect a ring. So that'll really work out for you. And so that's the idea that I want to go with. Not a team who's on the upswing. Like, don't go date a Denver Nuggets fan or a Utah Jazz fan or anything like that. Pick one of the garbage teams.
From the 214, I talk so much S to this guy I went to school with that's a bandwagon fan, never showed any support for the Patriots until a few years ago. And so that's what it should be, man. I had a time when my neighbor across the street was a huge Redskins fan, and he was the coolest guy you'd ever met. I mean, everything was awesome. He had a beer fridge. This was before I knew he was a Redskins fan. We're partying in my backyard one night, and he reveals that he's a big Redskins fan. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So you know what I did, Kevin?
Broke up with him.
You know when they come by and they say, hey, we're going to spray paint the curb for you for your address? You know what I did? The guy said, hey, I'm going to spray paint your curb. I said, that's great. I want to pay for the guy across the street, too, because they could do a Dallas Cowboys helmet decal on it. And so when he came home that day, he saw his curb was spray painted with a Dallas Cowboys decal. One day I went into his front yard because it had snowed or iced or whatever, and with my foot, I drew a big Dallas Cowboys star in his front yard in the snow. Just so he knew, this is Cowboys country, nobody else's, all right? 877-881-1053.
Hey. Look, against the Redskins, I support that 100% because most of the often I'm going to feel like we're going to win that game. I just don't feel that way in this instance.
From the 214, every time I talk trash, the boys lose. So nope, nope, nope.
Before that Jets game, I could see that. And some people are sending in predictions. Holy cow. From the 936, Cowboys 23-16. Yeah, I'm talking some S. From the 214, Dak will throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns, 31-21 win. Wow. From the 940, show me a Pats fan before 2002. Like, there might have been a couple in the mid-80s when they got shellacked by the Bears in Super Bowl 20. But other than that, I can't imagine there's people like shouting out, I don't know, whatever spare players they were rolling out before that.
Did you pay attention last night, Kevin, to the Thursday night football game and Watson? We asked how he would bounce back, what he would do. He had a phenomenal night. Will Fuller came up huge. DeAndre Hopkins came up huge. And I was telling you last night or yesterday that one of his favorite receivers to watch is Julian Edelman. DeAndre Hopkins says, I love Julian Edelman because that guy moves the chains. And then, like, as soon as I turn the TV on, DeAndre Hopkins for a first down. That's just what he does, man. But they're able to do so much more. And that's what he said about their offense. Now it's not just on him. Now he has the ability, because Will Fuller's healthy, because Will Fuller's good, because they have QT, because they can do all those things, Deshaun Watson can spread the ball around, and it's not all on DeAndre Hopkins to be the offense. But because of what DeAndre Hopkins does, that offense is back on fire. I'm fascinated by the Ravens and how they were able to shut that offense down. But then you heard Baldinger come on yesterday and say, look, they have the best secondary in all of football. When you have that kind of a secondary, you can do what they did to the Texans. But you saw the Texans bounce back against the Colts yesterday.
Well, and just think about how important just that one game was. As it stands now, the Texans get a home playoff game and the Colts aren't in the playoffs at all. That's how much that one game pivoted things. Now, you know, obviously things will change over the next five games. But by winning that one game, Texans in the playoffs, Colts not in the playoffs at all. And the Texans are ready to host a home game. The other thing, of course, I noticed was shout out for Allen's own Jonathan Williams scoring his first touchdown in 3 years.
Yeah, he was a good running back in Arkansas, I believe.
Yes,
too, right?
Yes, he was.
And he was getting after it last night, man. It was very impressive to watch what they were doing. That's the kind of game. I don't love that conference or that division. That division is kind of boring football to me.
Sure.
But last night was an exciting game. And maybe it's because I think highly of Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins.
Can I ask a question? For all the Cowboys fans, like, I appreciate the enthusiasm. But we have a bunch of people texting in, like, specific scores. Cowboys are going to win. Cowboys are going to win. Tell me a little bit more, if you can. Why is this game different? Why are so many people picking the Cowboys? Because I don't get the sense, like, watching some of these scores come in, there's a few that are clearly just, like, for fun. But a lot of these people texting in truly believe the Cowboys are going to win, not just because they love the Cowboys, but because they flat out think the Cowboys are going to win. Explain, 877-881-1053.
Like this text from the 469, I don't usually go all in, but I have a feeling the Cowboys win by double digits.
I think it's because the Cowboys typically win the games you don't expect them to and lose the games you don't expect them to, and kind of goes to the competition, the level of the competition they're playing.
What game this year have they won that you didn't expect them to?
None.
Yeah, not. But I think this is the one.
Well, and see, and that's the thing, because really, if you look at their schedule, there's only one outlier. It's the Jets. Like, how the hell did you lose the Jets game?
But I got that one out of the way.
But okay, and then this could be, and this does feel very much like the counterbalance that the Cowboys would do. They lost to the worst team in the league, and they beat the best team in the league. That feels very Cowboys-esque. My concern is you lost a close game to the Saints. You lost a close game to the Vikings. You lost a game that you seemed like you were about to make it close again to the Packers. My concern is, and that's why I picked the Pats, I believe, by six, is that this has all the signs of a classic game where the Cowboys put up a hell of a fight against a really good team, and then they still lose.
From the 469, my uncle, who happens to be from England, is ironically a Patriots fan. So every time he says something, I bring up the ass-kicking that England received in 1776.
Okay.
That's the American Revolutionary War, Kevin.
That I support, because that's the easiest retort for anything. Oh, England beat you in this, or England won the World Cup. And I was like, cool, you know what I like? Not being part of England. Like, that's your answer to anything. And, like, we won the most important war. And then guess what? We won the rematch. They came up here and burned down our White House, and we're like, whatever, you still can't have our country, and now you don't even decide if you can be in the EU or not. Politics!
Did we rebuild the White House in the same spot, or
nope.
A new place?
Moved it.
Huh. That was smart. So they couldn't find it?
I mean, I still feel like everyone has a pretty good idea where the White House was, but we put a gate up.
Did you see the story from Evan Grant, Kevin, that's really catching my eye right now? Because you have wanted... You've wanted Major League Baseball to take action against the Astros.
Yes.
I've kind of felt like, hey, if everybody's cheating, then let everybody cheat. But this is a line from Evan Grant's story on Dallas Morning News. What appears to be clear, the hammer is about to fall on the Houston Astros, and it will smash their little video cheating operation to smithereens, if not wreck the entire organization.
No, it won't. I'm going to go ahead and argue against that right now. No, it won't. Whoa.
That line is strong, though. And he says it's because Rob Manfred said, I take myself seriously. I do. I think that when that began to bubble up during the 17 season, I looked backward at how the issue had been dealt with. I wrote what I wrote because I did not believe that the disciplines that had been handed out in the past were in line with the significance of the issues that we were dealing with. So I do view this as a line of demarcation.
So this is where Evan Grant and I will differ. This is where the commissioner and I will differ, because, okay, you're going to drop the hammer, meaning you're going to suspend their manager and their owner for a year, let's just say, and you give them a $20 million fine. So what? They won the World Series. That is a small price to pay. Look, I love our manager, but if they said you win the World Series next year and Woody can never manage this team again, or he can't manage for a year, done. If you tell me that the owners can't be part of this team, done. If you told me we're going to get fined $50 million, done. Those are drops in the bucket as to what it means to win a World Series. Me personally, I would say, you know what? We've been wanting to rebrand the Expos. We're moving the team to Montreal for a year.
Jeez.
You all have to leave.
So
Houston,
that's the hammer.
Houston gets none of the revenue. Like, if you
the city doesn't deserve that. The city doesn't deserve that.
Well, guess what?
It's hard to move a city.
Welcome to the world of punishments, where so often somebody is caught in the crossfire for something that they had nothing to do with.
No, the city doesn't deserve. If the Cowboys got caught for something, you'd be okay with them just lifting the Cowboys and taking them out of the city?
As long as we won the Super Bowl. But no, I wouldn't be okay with it. I would be like, God, that is so unfair. And I would be furious, but I would also be furious at the Cowboys for systematically trying to cheat. But the NFL doesn't give out punishments like that. They give slaps on the wrist to the New England Patriots. I think when this punishment comes out, I'll view it as a slap on the wrist. Like, you're banned for a year. You're banned for a year. They need to ban them all for life. Then I'll think, okay, that's the hammer.
Our buddy, Bobby Belt, who you can hear on the Boys and Girl podcast with Jane Slater, just texted me and said, it's what Shippy just said. In 2008, the Cowboys lost to the Redskins, but they beat the Saints. In that game, the defense was as hype as it could be. In 17, they lost by 25 to Denver, but beat Kansas City by double digits. This is the one for the Cowboys. This is the one. Well, you know what? If that's going to happen, this defense has to play better than it's played the entire year and better than it played in those two games the previous seasons. This defense is going to have to show up, because it has not shown up to its best of its ability so far this year. So if you're going to have a game, if you guys that are confident the Cowboys can win this because they show up for big games like this, then that's the side of the ball. The Cowboys offense can go out there and be average, but the Cowboys defense has to go out there and be elite. And they haven't done it this year. If they can, man, then yeah, double digits, let's go.
All right, I like that confidence. And look, I'll be the first person to tell you I was wrong if we roll up Monday and the Cowboys have defeated the Patriots. 3:25 kickoff. Don't forget now, pre- and post-game with Brian Broaddus. All of that exclusively here on 105.3 The Fan. We will have Broaddus on for the Power Hour at noon.
Yeah, it's getting all messy.
Whoa. I'm anticipating some fun. Coming up next, Myles Garrett versus Mason Rudolph. Who do you believe, and what could this potentially do to Garrett's standing in the NFL? We'll do all of that next right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we broke the news yesterday to you that Myles Garrett said that Mason Rudolph threw a racial slur his direction. Kevin, I did a little research, asked around a little bit. So some people that work up there in the Pittsburgh area, I was told not even any whispers from other guys on the team about that.
Wow.
So like you would think that somebody would suggest something, that it would be out there in some way, shape, or form, but they're not. And reporters hear that stuff, man. Jane Slater hears stuff from players that they're not willing to say on record, but they're willing to say off record. So whenever you would think that somebody on the team would be like, yeah, you know, somebody that was in the mix, somebody that may be angry about it too. But Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph, who do you believe? 877-881-1053. What is this going to do to Myles Garrett's legacy? If he even has one. At this point, playing in Cleveland, he could get lost in the mix forever just because he's in Cleveland. But this was a number one overall pick, a very talented player that was, I mean, physically amazing. And what he's doing still is really good. But now, does this change the way you look at him? I heard Sharif say this morning, lost all respect for him. And Kevin, I think that, you know, as an A&M guy, you have to wear this a little bit, man.
Yeah, it was fascinating when I was down in College Station over the weekend. I saw several people at the A&M South Carolina game wearing their Myles Garrett A&M jersey. So I wasn't sure if like they were just wearing it because that was the only jersey they had, were they wearing it because they absolutely supported Myles Garrett. It's a tough situation because on the one hand, you know, Myles Garrett didn't say anything about it the first few days, and it was only behind closed doors when he was trying to save his season that he said something about it. On the other hand, you know, Mason Rudolph has been problematic throughout this, and he's like, I didn't start anything. And you're like, yeah, you kind of did. And then he releases a statement through his lawyer. We talked about this yesterday. If somebody said, you said a racial slur to me, I would come out myself and be like, the hell I did. And then I would say, I challenge Myles Garrett to come on TV with me and look me in the eye and say that I said that, because that did not happen. Instead, he releases the statement through his lawyer and says he's not going to talk about it again, which that's just not the direction that I would go. And it does kind of make me wonder just a little bit.
I wonder if it's because his lawyer went to him and said, hey, because we're probably going to sue this guy for slandering you.
Sure.
You need to let us handle this.
I've never been important enough to have a consistent lawyer. So
you don't have one just on retainer all the time?
I don't. That was the old ones. But I don't. I'm not important enough to make that happen. So I don't know. What I do know is both of them are coming off like fairly dislikable in this situation.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Because on the one hand, you wonder, like, does this mean that Myles Garrett is a lying race baiter, which is not okay? Now, on the other hand, you just kind of wonder, is Mason Rudolph just a flat-out douchebag that you can't stand?
There's some stuff on, you know, the Twitter world that suggests that, too, going back to, you know, his day. I heard Choppy say, you know, if you were an athlete in high school, you were probably a bully. That's not always the case, but he was like, you know, meathead, super athletic guys are bullies. That's just what they do. That makes sense because we saw those guys, right?
Right.
We all experienced that guy. I was always the fat kid that was athletic. So I was always kind of protecting everybody else because I was bigger than most people. So that was my job. I felt that was my role, not to be a bully, but that's how I was raised.
That kid's got a great arm.
Yes.
From Teen Wolf.
I did have a pretty good arm, too. There was some of the teammates, though, that were involved have some thoughts on this. Demarius Randall spoke out about Myles Garrett.
It was definitely something. So that's why I always looked at it when I first heard all the reports about him hitting him. I was like, it's going to definitely be more to the story. And I had no idea what was going on. So, I mean, that's just me knowing life.
And then Sheldon Richardson said that he was defending Myles Garrett a little bit.
An ass kicking was coming. It's just that simple. Like, you trying to hurt me? I'm hurting you. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Everybody deaf, dumb, and blind at the end of the day.
That's an interesting thought because it was two different. It wasn't an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
Like, that's definitely now. Hey, you're trying to rip my helmet off. And Mason Rudolph was like, I screwed up there, man. He started something that he wasn't prepared for. And then he got his helmet ripped off. That's a bad moment right there.
I have a theory about this. And I was talking with somebody who was like, oh, I was looking at what it appeared that he said. And what if. Is it possible that Mason Rudolph called him a B and that set him off? And
is that a racial slur?
No, and that's the thing. I would say no, because that seems like a derogatory term across the board. But perhaps he's pushing the narrative that, like, that's a racial-esque slur, or he's just trying to cover his back by saying, well, no one will care if I say he called me a name, but people will care if I say that he called me the N-word. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's a theory.
Yeah, I don't know why he would bring it up. Knowing everything they know about all the microphones that are concentrated on that area.
Should be easy to double check.
Like, why would I? So I'm trying to figure out if it's legit, I'm bringing that up. You know, that's, hey, look, this is what happened. But because of the hot button that it is in and of itself, it definitely does bring a lot of attention now of you have to figure it out. And we discussed yesterday whether or not the NFL wants to know, you know, whether, because they probably already know, hey man, we didn't hear anything there, or we did hear something here. Now what decision do we have to make? But the NFL probably was like, man, we would rather be blind to that whole thing because we don't need that. And we didn't need this thing in the first place. And I think that's why the decision to uphold it continued, because that didn't need to happen in the first place.
I want
to
see what you think about this comment from Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy was asked if he has, like, sympathy or anything for Myles Garrett. He said, quote, I'm sorry, I don't have any sympathy if that is in fact what happened. If we're in the bottom of the pile and Mason Rudolph is kneeing you in the groin, or he's trying to poke your eye out, or he's twisting your knee, something that's going to affect your ability to do your work and your career, then yeah, go for it. But you can't go off because somebody said something to you. All kinds of things get said out there in the field. There's four-letter words. In this case, it may have been a six-letter word, a multi-syllable word. All of that happens. I can't go and jeopardize my team's chance to go to the playoffs, my career, my ability to make money because somebody called me a name. I don't care what he said. That's not an excuse. That is a strong counterpoint from Tony Dungy, which I'm sure a lot of people will disagree with.
Sorry, from somebody from the 432, like, just took the wrong direction. That makes no sense, what you just texted in. I'm sorry about that, Kevin. They caught me off guard. I won't let it happen again.
Okay.
All right, I won't let somebody pull me off sides like that again. I'm sorry about that. That being said, I'm always fascinated about people that get offended by a name call, that get into fights over somebody saying, like, I got into a fight whenever I was a kid because somebody said, called me a girl. And okay. So I called him a girl back. Okay. And the next thing you know, we're fighting each other in the lunchroom.
Sure.
And since then I was like, man, why would I ever let somebody say call me a name that irritated me that much? Why would I let somebody get under my skin like that? Now, in this instance, if it's the B word, then that's just somebody saying a word. But when it comes to the N-word, that's different. That means so much more to so many different people.
And I have no, like, I haven't lived any of the history of, like, the oppression and stuff that goes with it. So you're right. It's tough to say. I'm the same way. Like, whatever people say doesn't particularly affect me. And if it did, I probably would have quit this job a really long time ago. But it's hard to say in that scenario. That's why I'm fascinated by Tony Dungy's take. Because Tony Dungy, as somebody who is significantly older than Myles Garrett, you would think, like, he probably went through a lot more racial oppression than Myles Garrett just because of the time that he was growing up through. It just seems to make sense. And so to hear him come out and say, no, yeah, I've been through it. I understand. And I still wouldn't allow that to affect me at all is that's interesting to me. But again, everybody is different. And especially when you're in the middle of a game, I can't even begin to fathom what kind of like emotion and adrenaline and all that you're hyped up with in the middle of a game. And when somebody just pokes the bear wrong, then you just might lose your mind. That could absolutely happen to me.
From the Kevin, I wanted to kind of shift to this because I think this is a fascinating story. And I'm very interested in how this documentary is going to go down. We are waiting Jerry Jones giving us a call. We'll talk with him at some point soon. We also have Brian Broaddus joining us at noon today, and we're going to have a power hour with Brian Broaddus. It's going to be a football power hour that you can't miss. We used to have Brian Broaddus on for an hour every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, and he would come in studio and sit down with us, and people said it was the best football content you could possibly find. Now, I'm not going to say that because, you know, I'm humble and everything.
Oh, yeah, but, no, we were the best.
But most of America considered it the best football content you could possibly find. So make That's sure fair. From noon to one, your lunch hour.
This is America.
Yeah, thank you. This is you're with us and Brian brought us today. Kevin, I saw this from Arash Markhazy. He said, Matt Barnes told me he's thinking of doing a documentary on the We Believe Golden State Warriors. The opening scene would be from the party after they upset top-seeded Dallas in the first round. Remember that? I drank an entire bottle of wine that night that the Mavericks lost.
2007 first round, arguably the biggest upset in the history of the NBA playoffs.
Here's the quote from Matt Barnes. We got up to Don Nelson's penthouse in Lake Merritt, and he tells us, Woody's in the back rolling doobies, fellas. Go back there. It was Woody Allen. I think it was Woody Harrelson.
Yeah,
I think
that makes more sense.
Rolling doobies, and our coach is telling us to go back there and smoke with him. And he said they went back there, partied with Snoop all night long, and had an absolute blast.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now, Corey. I will never watch that documentary because it'll make me sad all over again. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we do hope and believe we will have Jerry Jones on the show. We'll get to it next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
This is a football game that Dallas has to win. They, you know, like I said earlier, they've already lost to the Saints. They've lost to the Packers up there. And they've lost to the Vikings. They need to beat a quality team. Listen, this is a quality. This is a great football team. Jason Garrett has been the head coach of the Cowboys for 10 years. And to my recollection, for the most part, a very average football coach, head coach. He needs to win this game. The Cowboys need this is a big, big game for them. I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah, a big game for them record-wise, but also just to prove that they belong.
They got
to
beat somebody that we respect.
There you go. That's Terry Bradshaw. By the way, he's going to hop on with G-Bag Nation this next week on Monday. I believe.
Yeah.
So be prepared for the G-Bag Nation to have Terry Bradshaw on. And that's the Fox team right there saying the Cowboys need this. They need this big time. 877-881-1053. How much do you think that the Cowboys need it? If they lose, will it wreck their season?
No.
If they win, will it change their season?
Yes.
That's interesting. That's a very interesting, because you believe that this team can win 8-8 and win the division, right?
You probably need to go 9-7, I think. But I also think if you win this game, you could go, I know people are going to freak out by what I'm about to say. If you win this game, I think you can go 12-4.
Wow.
Because you just beat the Patriots on the road. What game is left on your schedule that you're like, well, we couldn't possibly beat that team?
There you go. See, you don't need to be 12-4 to win the Super Bowl, but to win a game like this, it convinces you that you can hang your hat on it. We beat that team. Nobody else. I mean, nobody else can compare to that yet, right? Except for maybe the Niners right now. But you hang your hat on, we beat that team.
Yeah.
And we did it that way, despite what happened before in the season. Despite the fact that we lost to the Jets. The lowly Jets, despite that we lost to the Packers and the Saints the way that we did, You can hang your hat on the fact that you beat the Patriots, and I think that confidence right there, Kevin, is something that'll take you. Now, the problem is, if they did that, would they start smelling themselves? Smelling themselves, Shippy? Sniffing themselves?
They would start,
that, you would think that, because this is the team that gets used to sniffing itself.
This is 100% the team that does that, and you could easily see them losing to the Bills. Like, that's just what this team does.
I want to hear this, too, because, Kevin, you know how much I love and respect Michael Lombardi. He was asked on NESN if Bill Belichick would have been successful in Dallas as the coach.
Jerry's about his program and his culture that he wants to set, and Bill needs to be able to establish his culture. You know, it's funny because the two people that are up for the job at the Oakland Raiders in 1999 were Bill Belichick. I mean, 1998 were Belichick and Gruden, and I think Bill would have been able to work really well with Al Davis, although Al loves offensive coaches because he wanted to coach the defense. So I think once the rules and the boundaries are established, Bill can win anywhere.
There you go. I would have been fascinated by what would have happened here. And I think the rules would have been, I think that Bill Belichick would have gotten his, you know, idea of what he wanted to do. And then maybe it would have been very difficult to convince him of the players that he needed with Jerry, because Jerry was like, hey, I'm going to go with my gut on a lot of these things, before he finally said, okay, Will McClay, I'll let you take that over. And I think Steven had a lot to do with Jerry. Listen, I know you love finding the players and you want to find the diamond in the rough, but we have a guy that's an expert. Let's let him be the expert. You just be the guy that gets all the glory from what your experts do.
And that, I wish I could go back in time and study that, because then we would have a definitive answer. Like, is it Jerry that's holding aspects of this back? Because if you can't win with Belichick, then what are we even doing? And maybe people complain about Jason Garrett and he's like desperately wants to come on with Sean and RJ and be like, no, that's not what's happening at all. I can't even tell you how wrong you are about so many of these things, because he wants to keep his job.
Yeah, I really do find that to be an interesting thing. I think that Bill Belichick would have been successful anywhere. I wonder if Jason Garrett would have had time to be successful anywhere else in the country.
Like, he would not have kept his job
Cincinnati.
Most other places. Yeah, Cincinnati is, if that's why I said most other places. Shiffy's right. Cincinnati, he 100% would still have his
they
job.
They hung on to Marvin Lewis for like.
And then they fired him and they're like, never mind. And
yeah.
Maybe tonight's or Sunday afternoon's win, if they win, that might change the narrative for Jason Garrett going forward. And Shippy and I are going to be at the Shark Club out in Plano at the Signature Sandman Hotel. Look forward to seeing all y'all out there for the party. Shippy loves to party. I love to drink beer and other alcohol drinks. And they also have great food, so I'm looking forward to seeing everybody out there. It's been a while since Shippy and I've got to party together, so I'm looking forward to it.
I like parties. You like parties?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a shirt that says that. All right, guys, the quarterback ratings, the quarterback rankings before the season, where was Dak Prescott, Kevin?
13 or 14.
Really?
I would say.
Because people weren't sure that he could be a passing quarterback.
Yeah.
That he could be anything other than a system guy that was a good game manager.
And some people would even probably argue about that. I think the consensus more or less that he was average to slightly above average.
And right now, I think that he is still a game manager. He just game manages in a different way. I think he does a really good job of managing the game. Jason Garrett steps in and calls timeouts at bad points in their game.
Yeah.
But I think that Dak Prescott, with the route combinations that Kellen Moore is putting together, the ability to see what's going on the field, I think that he is still a good game manager, because he doesn't love to turn the ball over that much, doesn't take a lot of sacks, and is getting big-time yards. And he's also throwing touchdowns, man. Like, he's right behind Russell Wilson in touchdowns. That's it. I would put him. He's leaped up 10 spots. He's in the top three in quarterbacks this year.
Top three?
Yeah, that's where
I have
him.
All right. 877-881-1053. Where do you think Dak Prescott currently ranks on the list of quarterbacks? All right. So let's go all the way. This is from USA Today. Let's go all the way to the bottom. This is like in terms of consistent quarterbacks who've been there for the bulk of the year. The very last is Mr. Maybe he said it, maybe he didn't himself, Mason Rudolph at 29. Then you get Trubisky, Kyle Allen, Fitzpatrick, Foles, Josh Allen, Daniel Jones, Tannehill, my boy Sam Darnold, and Jameis Winston at 20. Then for the teens, Goff, Mayfield, Kyler Murray. Murray's already ahead of Mayfield. Jacoby Brissett. Jimmy Garoppolo is only 15 behind Derek Carr. Phillip Rivers, that's too high at 13. Tom Brady at number 12.
Good. So that's where he deserves.
They base this off of accuracy, decisions, pocket presence, arm, creativity, and consistency, and did a point the compilation. Tom Brady is number 12. In the preseason, he was number one.
Oh, really? Well, because he's Tom Brady.
Sure.
That was on name alone, not on what he's done. Like Dak Prescott being at like 13 was on name alone.
Coming in at number 11, Kirk Cousins. So Kirk Cousins is right ahead of Tom Brady.
But not in the top 10?
He is not in the top 10.
Which is where we always had Romo. We had Romo fringe top 10.
I agree with that.
And people always just bash the idea of how can you not have Romo as your top five? And you're like, what are you doing right now?
Because he's bad Romo, in pressure situations.
Romo was good. Romo was very good.
That's true.
He was not in the Drew Brees elite category. Damn. And that drove people insane that we're Romo lovers. And I get it because I'm a Romo lover. I love him too. He was our quarterback. Not everything around him was built perfectly, though.
And that's 100% fair.
I love Tony Romo.
Thank you, Jason.
Okay. I always wanted Tony Romo to succeed, even if I didn't love him.
Jason, if you loved him so much, though.
I love Romo back.
Why did you let him go? You know, why did you replace him so quickly?
Because they had somebody better.
Oh, dang.
I mean.
I think about it every day.
Oh, wow. Does he really? All right. So where will Dak end up on this?
Not a bromance.
Number 10, Matthew Stafford. He started the season at number 13.
Okay.
Number 9. This is too high. Carson Wentz. Too high.
Okay.
Especially when you see who's immediately in front of him. Deshaun Watson. I would take Deshaun Watson in a freaking heartbeat ahead of Carson Wentz.
Okay.
Would you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
I like Carson Wentz, but I feel like Deshaun Watson has a much more dynamic skill set in his ability to throw the deep ball. They both can throw the deep ball pretty well, but I think he sees the game a lot better than Carson Wentz does.
In the 6'8", 2, I think Dak ranks top 5. From the 214, Dak is top 3. For the 817, Dak is now top 10. So. A lot.
I don't know if you can do that.
We'll see. Number 7, also too high. Matt Ryan.
What do you mean I'm too high? He's a good quarterback.
Man, why is his team so awful then?
Because their defense is bad.
Fair enough. But you would think he would at least be able to get them to like 4 wins.
Well,
or
how
something.
Are you blaming that on him? On you can't look at some of the losses the Cowboys.
Ryan or Roethlisberger, who's more overrated?
The Cowboys. Matt Ryan. The Cowboys have had some tough times this year. I think it's their defense has been bad.
I think it's because I'm still bitter that he coughed up the lead by not knowing how to call running plays in the Super Bowl.
That was on his offensive coordinator.
Please. Yeah, that was the head coach.
No. I'm sorry. No. I'm going to sit down with the offensive coordinator and the head coach and go, look how much time is left in the game. If we run the ball, we will mathematically are guaranteed to win as long as we catch the onside kicks. But no, they chose not to do that.
I
that's his fault.
Kevin, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
We were talking with Travis Frederick about this. You know, Travis Frederick is a good friend of the show. He's always spending time hanging out with us on air. We were talking to him about that the other day. When you decide to make a decision that goes against what the coaches have said, and he said, more often than not, you should. And he said, actually, more than 90% of the time, you do what they say. Because A, they have been the ones that are studying what is supposed to happen. They're the ones that are supposed to be, you know, pulled away from it and being able to look in and say, okay, this is what's going on without the emotion that goes along with it. Was it a bad decision? Look at it in hindsight, it was. But, and maybe even a lot of people at the time were saying, this is ridiculous. What are
yes!
you doing?
Yes.
But. You do what the coaches say. Bill Belichick will tell you, do your job. Do what I say, and you will work. Things will work out for you.
Well, I got to tell you something, Corey. It's a miracle I've only gotten fired once in my life because I frequently don't care to do what the bosses tell me that I should do. So it really is. It's a miracle that I haven't been fired more. Number 6.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Post. Number 6, Drew Brees. Drew Brees was ranked number 2 in the preseason. He is now at number 6. Number 5. If I told you this person was ranked number 22 at the beginning of the season, would you be able to guess it?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson is correct. Very, very well done. He leads all quarterbacks in the category of creativity, because what the hell are you supposed to do to stop him?
Kevin, that is one of the many reasons that you have dubbed me as what?
The master and knower of all things in the football universe and beyond.
You're welcome, football fans.
Remember, Sean, RJ, anybody on that station, this title is always up to be defended if you have the guts to show up at any point. Mm-hmm. Number 5, we should get together! Lamar Jackson. So that means that Dak Prescott either was accidentally left off this list or he's in the top 4. Where do we think Dak Prescott is in the top 4? 877-881-1053.
So Aaron Rodgers is still left then?
Okay. Who else is still left?
Russ.
Russ.
Yep.
Makes good music.
You better get the other one.
Dak is still left?
Yes.
Who's another good quarterback in the NFL?
Patty Mayonnaise.
Oh, it's not Philip Rivers.
I already said Philip Rivers. Who can throw a football farther than any human in the universe?
Pat Mahomes. Oh, you said mayonnaise. Sorry, man. Yeah. That's how I screwed everything up.
How would you rank those? If it's Rodgers, Mahomes, Dak, and Wilson.
After this season so far?
The season that we're in.
I would say Russell Wilson.
Is one?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say... I would say Dak is 2, and then Aaron Rodgers 3, and Mahomes 4, because Mahomes missed some games. That's it. And because Aaron Rodgers has been reeled back. Now, Rodgers' execution within their offense is phenomenal. But at this moment, I would put Dak at 2.
This is amazing to me. From the 817 and 214, 469, 214, another 469, and an 870. Dak should be number 2. The 214, he should be 3rd. Although I do like this line of logic from the 817. He wears number 4, so he should probably be number 4.
I was going to say that.
Well, congratulations to you. Dak Prescott is number 4.
Aaron, are you congratulating us? That's terrible.
No, congratulations to that person.
But
who
that's not
it.
Good, Kevin.
Okay, I mean,
that's not what he deserves.
Top 4. He started the preseason as number 15. Aaron Rodgers is 3. Pat Mahomes is number 2. And Russell Wilson is number 1. So there are your quarterback rankings from the USA Today as we stand right now in the season. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, besides Cowboys, Patriots, which NFL game are you most looking forward to this weekend? Let us know, 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.